Is anybody here this morning? All right, all right. I am glad you guys are here. We're going to have a great time this morning. Last week I began this series called The Ghost. And we're talking not about ghosts that float around, some orb floating around somewhere in somebody's house or somewhere. I mentioned I went to the Winchester house and they talked about a ghost being at the Winchester house in the basement. And, you know, I've seen various places where they talk about ghosts. And one of these days I want to go back to Gettysburg. I want to go see where Gettysburg, the Civil War site, was fought. And they talk about ghosts being out there at Gettysburg. And yesterday morning, I had a busy day scheduled yesterday, several things going on. But I kind of got up just for fun. I kind of scanned through the TV, and there's this one channel. I don't know what the name of the channel is, but almost all day yesterday, it had ghost stories on. My ghost stories, celebrity ghost stories, my encounter with a ghost. Anybody ever watch those? Anybody here? I see one. Okay, maybe there's more. There's a couple of you. Just to I just don't think there's ghosts, all right? Now, I shared last week, I do believe there's a spiritual world. I do believe there's an invisible world. But that invisible world is filled with the demons and the angels. And I believe in that, but I think the scripture is very, very clear. Either absent from the body is present with the Lord, or you get the other place. Take your pick. But I don't believe in ghosts. But I want to look at this ghost, and I want you to think about the ghost. And I gave you some of the terms, because what the scripture calls ghosts in the King James is what we call the Holy Spirit today. We usually don't use the word ghost, because that would really be confusing. If I talk about a ghost, most of you are going to think about Ghostbusters. Yeah. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and so I gave you some words here. This was the Hebrew word for ghost, and it means a wind, a breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of air. It's a violent breeze. Then there's the Greek word for it, and it's a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze or spirit. So they're carrying the same idea. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God, is the way I look at it. It says God breathed into man. It says the wind blew over the earth at creation. We kind of looked at all of that. But we see that breath of God, and it's both in the Old Testament and the New. And we get this picture of what God does. And I shared with you last week that as you look at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, he would come for a while and set upon somebody, like he would come, and for a while he came on the man named Joseph. And it says that God sent his spirit on Joseph, and Joseph ruled in Egypt. That he came upon Gideon, and Gideon fought a battle through the power of the Spirit. That he came upon Samson, and Samson, if you're politically not correct, he talked about tearing a bunch of lions up. And he came upon all these other individuals, Joshua and his battle, and God gave him power. And he was there in the Old Testament. He appeared, he did his work, and then he would leave. But we get to the New Testament, we get the picture of the Holy Spirit. And it kind of begins right in the very first of the book. What I thought was interesting, if you begin reading the book of Genesis, the very first, and the Spirit of the Lord, the wind blew over it, right in the very beginning. You start reading the New Testament, you start reading like the Gospel of Matthew, and you run across right off the bat, you're getting a young lady named Mary. An angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to get pregnant. And she goes, well, that's kind of impossible. I'm not having sex. How can I get pregnant? I'm a virgin. That's not going to happen. And the angel goes, wait a minute. God's Spirit is going to overcome you and place within your womb a child. And so right off the bat, there again, here's the Spirit. And then the Spirit is what it says when Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the grave by the power of the Spirit. And so over and over, we see the Spirit moving in our midst and working in our midst. And what I want to emphasize in this morning, what I'm going to talk about is, you know, that same power that inspired, that gave them courage, that gave them gifts, that supernatural power in these lives of people like Joseph and Joshua and Gideon and Samson and then the Son of God, Jesus, and his birth, that same power is available to you and I today. I think one of the struggles I see, and maybe you can feel like this. Have you ever, maybe it was sitting in a church, or maybe it was around your dinner table at Christmas or Thanksgiving, and somebody stood up to pray, and you go, man, you know, that's just such a powerful prayer. And it just, you know, it's kind of like, man, I wish I could pray like that. Or maybe you're having a conversation with somebody and they just know the Bible and they can just quote scripture. You know, and it's like, you know, some of us get older, we say we can't remember anything, but, you know, we remember a lot. And they can just quote scripture, and it's like, man, I wish I could memorize like that. I wish I knew the word like they know the word of God. And they just seem to know where, oh, that passage, I know right where that's at. And they could just seem to tell you right where to look. And you're just kind of going, how do they do that? How can they do that? Or maybe you had a friend. And a traumatic experience just happened in their life. It's really a shaken experience. Yesterday, one of my busy things in my life yesterday was a service, a funeral for a 6-year-old child. I can't imagine that. I can't fathom that. The heartache that must be. As I was doing the service, how do you deal with something like that? And yet, you have somebody that goes through something like that and that earth-shaking experience, and yet they hold strong to the faith. And it's kind of like they can stand there, and you're just going, how do they do that? How can they take that, you know, the job of loss or whatever it may be, and yet they just stand there. You see people like that, and you're just kind of wondering, how do they do it? They can pray, or this one over here has that shaken experience, or this one has that knowledge of the Bible. And see, what I want to advocate, what I want to think about, it's not who they are. It's who's in them. That power of the Holy Spirit, just that he moved in Joshua, that he moved in Jacob, that he moved in all the guys in the Old Testament. I got to keep going. Then you come into the New Testament. That same power is available today. That if you need comfort, it's available. That earth-shaking thing in your life, that you just wonder, how could I ever deal with something like that? That there's a power that comes from the Spirit. That those hurts, that those needs, that there's something about that Holy Spirit. But see, there's a problem. Most Christians don't live like that. Why not? Why is it most of us live this mediocre Christian life? We believe in God. We trust God. We come to church. We pray every once in a while. We read our Bible now and then, and it's kind of like, why can't I have what they had? I kind of put it in this terms. Anybody here ever raise a child, and you get a child at a certain age, and you're working with that child, and as that child is growing up, and that child is struggling with something? Maybe it's putting their clothes on. Maybe it's picking something, doing something. And that child, and you go, here, let me help you. And you go over there to help that child, and all of a sudden that child says, no, leave me alone. Anybody ever raise a child that, you know, it's kind of like, I'm independent now. I can do this myself. I don't need any help. Anybody ever raise a child that, if you haven't, let me tell you, if you're raising yours, you're going to get there, all right? You know, because kids, that's part of growing up, that independent, I can do this. See, I think that's the problem with most of us as Christians. That we get to the point that, you know, I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I got a handle on this Christian thing. I can do this Christian thing. I understand this Christian thing. And we think we got it all figured out. And we don't realize that, you know what, I still need the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as a child needs help. You know, so what I want to say this morning, I'm going to say over and over this morning is, you know what? We need to grow up. Grow up, not that I can be independent. Grow up that I can depend on God. That power of the Holy Spirit that moved throughout the Scriptures, that power that ascended and descended in the Old Testament, that today in our world today, after Jesus rose from the grave, descends and stays in the believer's life, all it means is I've got to surrender. It's a matter of letting go of my independence. It's a matter of letting God move. If I want that supernatural life, if I want that supernatural gifts, if I want the supernatural strength, if I want that supernatural wisdom, it doesn't come when Gary works harder. and I strive more. It comes when I surrender more. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. Am I surrendered more to God? If I want more of God and His Spirit, it's not a matter of reaching up, it's a matter of giving away. I grew up as a Christian and when I became 17, and I remember those teenage years at 17, 18, and that, we talk about God is my co-pilot. The problem is He's in the wrong seat. I should be in the co-pilot seat. He should be my pilot. And I want you to challenge you this morning to grow up and surrender more of your life to the Spirit. To let God have more of you. If you want that supernatural prayers, you want the supernatural strength, it's not going to come when you do more. It's going to come when you let go of more to Him. We got a picture here in Acts, and we're going to look at the book of Acts, and it's kind of setting the stage here. I set the stage last week, and this is going to be a test for me this morning. This is my test, not yours, so this is not about you. This is about me. I want you to look at this passage here, and this is a test for me. Look at what it says. Once when He was eating, now He being Jesus, okay? Once when Jesus was eating with them, I'll just kind of make sure you understand, Jesus had died on the cross. This is Acts, okay? This is after the Gospels. Jesus had died on the cross, rose from the grave. He walked this earth for about 40 days, all right? He walked this earth for 40 days before He sent it into heaven. So this is that 40-day period between His ascension, His ascending out of the grave, His resurrection, and He ascended into heaven. So here's this 40-day block. And when He was eating, means He's not a ghost, okay? Ghosts don't eat, so He's not a ghost with them. He told them not to leave Jerusalem. All right, He's talking to His disciples. I'll make sure you get a picture here. Here's Jesus. He's eating a breakfast with His disciples again, just like He did when He was alive and walking before His resurrection, just as He was walking with them in those 3 years before this. He's alive. He's eating with them. And He says, listen, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait here to receive the promise from the Father, which I told you about. Now, here's my test. Anybody know what that promise is? All right. This is last week's message. This is a test. Did I succeed last week or did I fail last week? Last week, remember, Jesus says, I got to stay here, but I'm going to ascend into heaven. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, that's the promise. All right? He said, wait here to receive the promise from the Father, which I told you about. He's saying, remember, I told you in that upper room, I told you back then that I'm going to have to leave. And I'm going to leave in the next few days. But when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So He says, now listen, I want you to wait here for a little while. I've got to get to heaven, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, is what He's saying. From the Father, which I told you about, John baptized people with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John is John the Baptist, just in case you wanted to know. He's John the Baptist, and he baptized with water. Remember, he was in the Jordan River baptizing everybody. But then Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That word baptize, I realized as I put this together, going over it yesterday, I said, man, I probably should have put the definition of that word. Write this in there somewhere in your notes. Write this word immerse. Immerse. That's what that word means. What Jesus is saying is this. I'm going to immerse you in the Spirit. I'm going to fill you with the Spirit. I'm going to place within you my Holy Spirit. He's going to put that in us. God is going to fill us with His Spirit. Just as John baptized you with water, I'm going, just as He immersed you in water. If you want a picture, get a picture of being immersed in the Spirit. You know what? Here's a picture I came up as I thought about this. Used to go to Jeunesse Park. Anybody go up to Jeunesse Park? Anybody been up there? We used to stop at an ice cream store parlor on the way up there in Jamestown. And they had chocolate-dipped ice cream. Anybody have chocolate-dipped ice cream? Remember how you go up there, they make those Frosties, and they turn that Frosty over and dip it in there, and you pull it out, and you get a chocolate-dipped Frosty. Anybody? You guys act like I'm dumb. Am I the only one that ever ate those? Oh, okay. Some of you guys had them. That's kind of what, that's the picture I get. I kind of get this picture that God took us and just covered us with his spirit. Just drenched us with his spirit. And what's amazing to me, what's so important to me, and I'm going to say this over and over in the message, that God never fills anything up. He always overfills it. And I could see God just, you know, just putting this glass up here and just immersing it and just pouring water in it. And it's just flowing over the sides, making a mess all over the counter. I made chocolate milk this morning to have for breakfast with some toast. And I made a mess on the corner, had to wipe it up. See, that's what I see God doing. He's going to baptize you. He's going to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. But here's the picture I want you to get. God immerses us with the Holy Spirit because we surrender. You know, when you first become a Christian, you laid it all on the line. When I first became a Christian, it's like, yes, God, whatever you say, wherever you lead, whatever you want. When I first became a Christian, that was my decision. Whatever. But after a while, it's kind of like I pull some things back. Anybody? You know, yeah, God, I'll do whatever, but don't ask me to. You want me to do what? Yeah, you think I'm going to do that? You know, when you first do it, you got everything. But then pretty soon we kind of pull things back. And so what I'm saying is this, you get immersed with the Spirit, but you got to keep going for it. You got to keep surrendering over and over. Like I said, you got that little child, and you can I help you? No, they want any help. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not going to help. But down the road, again, you see them struggling. You go, I got to help you. No, and it's something different, but still yet they don't want any help. I think we get like that as Christians. And this surrender part, this immersion part, is not a one-time experience. This is what I'm advocating. You know, like I said, I like that chocolate-dipped ice cream. But you know what? Pretty soon all that chocolate's gone. Can you dip it again? Yeah. Dip it again because I want more chocolate on my ice cream. Anybody besides me like that kind of stuff? Come on. You know, dip it again. I want more chocolate. You know, I ate all that one. I want more. Well, I think that's what we need to have for the Holy Spirit. It's like I have immersed you, and we live with that for a while, and we think we got everything. We think we got it under control. We think I can do this. I don't need any help. I've got this one, God. And we need to be redipped again. We need to be immersed again. I want to challenge you. When's the last time you were immersed in the Spirit? When's the last time you've absolutely surrendered everything and said, God, everything, it's yours. Wherever, whatever, whenever, God, it's yours. Jesus goes on, and look what he says after he said this. Let's look at the next verse. But you receive power. Circle that word power. We're going to come back to that. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He said, when that Spirit comes on you, you're going to have power. That word, and I gave you a definition, that power is the word dunamos. See, I know a little bit of Greek. Dunamos, mighty strength, ability, miraculous power, supernatural power, the explosive power of God. Can anybody guess what English word we get from dunamos? Anybody got an idea by the way that word sounds? How about the word dynamite? That's our word dynamite. That's the root word that we get dynamite from. When we get the Spirit of God, we get explosive power from God. We get dynamite power from God. Power to equip us. Power to strengthen us when we're shaken. Power to deliver us. We get power. And as I read that, you know, you look at that passage, you think about that power, it's like, why is Jesus saying, listen, guys, stay in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and when you get the Holy Spirit, you're going to get power. You're going to get this dynamite that's going to be explosive, and you can do great and mighty things. And he's telling these guys this. I want you to think about the guys he's telling this to. All right, there's 11 of them. One been knocked off, all right? They picked one off. You know, Satan got one of them. Anybody know who his name was? Anybody? They picked Judas off, okay? So there's 11 guys there, and he's saying, listen, I'm going to send you that dynamite power. Why would these guys, they had been Jesus. I want you to think about these guys he's talking to, because Maybe you're like me because I'm kind of like them. All right? They had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen Jesus do miraculous work. He'd raised the dead in Lazarus. He healed the lame, caused the blind to see, multiplied food products so thousands could eat. He'd done all this work. But you notice one thing you never heard him tell the guys. Here's these guys he walked with. Here's these guys he served. Not once did you hear him say, "Guys, man, your faith is awesome. You guys are doing so good with your faith." He never told them that. You know what he always told them? "Why is your faith so small? If you just had faith as a mustard seed, you could do this. If you just had a little more faith, you could do..." He always, you know, here's these guys that lack faith. And he's saying, "Listen, I'm going to give you supernatural power. I'm going to load in your hands, in your heart, in your life, I'm going to load you up with dynamite. It's my spirit. He will equip you. He will gift you. He will empower you. He will strengthen you. He will walk with you. He will never leave you nor depart from you. Yeah, your faith may be weak, but I'm going to give you my spiritual power." Anybody feel like that? I do. That sometimes my faith isn't quite as strong as it should be. And he challenged these guys. I want you to think about these guys. Think about it again. Here's these guys. They're with Jesus. They're nailing him to the cross. They drop the cross in the hole. Boom. There's one guy there. John. They all left. And he's telling them, "Listen, I'm going to give you power. God, I'm with you, but things got tough. God, I'm with you, but it's kind of scary now. God, I want to follow you, but I don't know. I'm uncomfortable, God." And he said, "I'm going to give you power." They all ran, all but one. Peter. Peter sitting there just hours before, "I'll die with you, man. I'm on your team, and man, we'll go down together, Jesus. Just you and I, back to back. We'll fight the fight." Then some little middle school kid from the school here made Peter a chicken. He wouldn't even say he's a disciple. And God said, "I'm going to give you power. I'm going to fill you." Yeah. Thomas, one of the 12. "I ain't going to believe it unless I put my finger in the hole where they nailed him and put my fist where they put that sword, that spear. Then I'll believe." Anybody? You ever? "You know, I believe in God, but I'm just not quite..." You know, as I looked at these guys, I kind of figured, you know what? We fall into that category a lot. You know, we can get intimidated by little things in life. We can have earth-shaking events in our life that we want to run and hide and lock the door because we're afraid they're going to come and get us next, just like they got Jesus. And so to these guys who are like you and I, just ordinary people like you and I, he's sitting there, "Listen, I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you my dynamite. I'm going to give you my spirit. And you can do great and mighty things." And the first picture he paints is sharing the word. But when life shakes you and you wonder, how can somebody go through something like that? You know, I watched some grandparents, because those are the ones I knew more at this funeral, and I can't imagine as a grandparent losing a grandchild like that. I just don't know. How do you go? I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be my faith. I would cave. I'm going to just be honest with you. God would have, that spirit would have to be dynamite in my life if something happened to one of my grandkids. It would just rip my heart out. It was hard enough letting them move to Washington, all right? Letting three of them move off to Washington. That just kills me. How do we understand? How do we deal with that? You know, I'm sure some of you here have some hurts right now, and you're wrestling with some hurts right now, and it's kind of like, how do I get through this? What do I do, and how do I deal with this? And what I want to say is we have the Spirit. That sometimes strength comes when we surrender and not become strong. That when we sit back and we go, "God, I can't do this. I can't handle this. God, fill me with your spirit." God, let your spirit empower me. God, there's a task. There's a need. There's a circumstance. There's a battle in my life, God, and I've got to surrender. But too often we want to, I'm a Christian. I got this one, God. I've got this all figured out. And I want to advocate with us that the Holy Spirit wants to move in our life with power. So I'm going to just identify four quick things this morning, all right? Can you go with me? Just four quick things that the power of the Spirit wants to do. The first one is this. He's going to empower me to speak boldly and to share Jesus Christ boldly. All right? I want to tell you, most of us are afraid to talk about Jesus with our friends. It's kind of like we're like Peter when that girl walks up, a little girl. I imagine, here's this, I just get a picture of Peter being, you know, some guy, mid-30s, somewhere in that ballpark, maybe early 30s, you know, and been following Jesus, seen all the miracles, watched the lame walked, you know, seen the blind see. I mean, he's seen all that. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there warming himself at the fire. Jesus is in there, and he's kind of peeking in, watching the trial go on. And this girl, aren't you one of those guys? No, I'm not. You know, I just imagine, you know. And yet, what about us with our faith? You know, that coworker, that neighbor, that longtime friend, maybe that brother, sister, mother, father, that relative. You know, we want somebody to tell them about Jesus, but not me. And I want to challenge us that let the Spirit use you. Look at what this message said here. I want you to look at this passage right here. And my message, okay, this is Paul, all right? This is Paul. Paul's message, my preaching, were very plain. Paul's sitting there saying, listen, I'm just a plain preacher. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Most of us, when we're going to tell somebody about Jesus, well, I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer their questions. Paul's sitting there saying, I don't know either. I'm not trying to persuade them. I'm not a flowery preacher. I just let the Spirit use me. I did this so that you would trust, not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. See, most of us, when we go to tell somebody about Jesus, trust in what? Our power. My knowledge. My ability. And Paul is sitting there saying, listen, I'm not a flowery preacher. I'm not one of the great preachers. I'm just, whatever God says, just is coming out of my mouth. That's all. See, I want to challenge you. If you have a friend or you have a neighbor or you have somebody that needs to hear the message of Jesus, just let God lead. I'll give you, here's what you do. It's real simple. Don't tell them your story. Ask them their story. And listen. That's it. You know? Just, hey, you know, where are you at in your relationship with God? Let the Spirit do the work. And I'm not letting you off the hook with this, okay? I'm going to be mean this morning. In your worship folder is a little card. All right? Anybody got one in your car, in your worship folder? I'm asking you to be bold, so I'm going to make you be bold. How's that? Because you need to, let me tell you something. Here's what's amazing to me. I do not see myself as a great preacher. I know most of you think I'm awesome and I'm great and, you know, I'm God's gift. You know, most of you probably feel that way, at least I hope. I know you don't. I'm not a great preacher. I look at Billy Graham, and I look over some preachers that I really enjoyed. Adrian Rogers. I mean, man, that guy could preach. Charles Stanley. You know, I look over some of the people I've heard preach. I'm nowhere in their class. But what's amazing to me is to sit on a couch yesterday, and somebody sitting there say, you know, that message you preach is exactly what I needed to hear before I left Sunday. To hear them say that, to realize, you know what, it's not me, it's God. And what's so interesting is they needed that message that day. And you know when I wrote that message, I prepared that message and that outline for that sermon? Like a month beforehand. That God knew what day it was going to be preached and who was going to need it. See, it's all about God. It's not about us. So I want you to take this, and I want you to put a name in each one of those boxes. All right? I want you to put a name in each one of those boxes. Is there somebody in your family that you need boldness to share with? Is there a friend? Will you pray for a city in our world? This is something I've had in the office for a while, and I just wanted to share it with you. Because I want you to be bold. That what it's going to take is real simple. Don't sit there and say, I can't, because you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. When you put the name down there and you tell me you can't, you're right, you can't. But the Spirit can. Surrender that to the Spirit. Ask God for the power. Ask God to fill you, to equip you. That supernatural power, that supernatural gift. That's what Paul is sitting there saying. I did this so you would trust, not in human wisdom. It's not your wisdom. It's not what you know about the Bible. It's not what you know about God. It's not what you know about prayer. It's not what you know about church. It's not anything about that, but in the power of God. Will you allow God to use you in a bold way? Will you surrender? Not, I've got this one. I can do this. Can you let go and let God? I'm going to tell you, grow up and surrender to the Spirit. See, to share Christ boldly. Another thing the Spirit does, if you're looking at your outline here, is when you are weak, the Spirit will empower you when you're weak. Most of us feel, especially if you're a man, we got to be strong. We got to be strong. I got to handle this. I've got to be strong. It's when we're weak that the Spirit can work in us. When I surrender it to Him. Look at what it says. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When we're weak, when we know we can't do it, we're going to let God do it through us. Anybody watch the news this week? I think it was this week or was it late last week? These teenage girls lifted up this 3,000-pound tractor off their dad. Anybody see that in the news or is it just me? How could these little girls, they were just young girls, pick up this tractor that had fallen and tipped over on their father? It wasn't their strength. You know, they talk about, all the chemicals in our body doing things to help us do stuff like that. But I want to tell you, the Spirit of God can help us when we're weak. Usually when I fall as a Christian, kind of give you a hint. You know when I usually make a mistake as a Christian? Is when I think I got it. When I think, you know what? I can handle this one. I can deal with this. And I deal with it myself. The one thing I realize, the best thing for me to do, this is for me, it might not be for you, is I'm weak everywhere. God, forget it. Strengthen me. Strengthen me in my relationships. Strengthen me in my wisdom. Strengthen me in my knowledge. It's hard. Like I said yesterday at that funeral, what do you say when a six-year-old passes away? I don't know. I really don't. But I know one thing. I can go to God and walk with them with the Spirit of God and just kind of walk alongside and let God work. I don't know. See, Paul had a problem. It's real interesting. We don't know what Paul's problem was. Paul calls it a thorn in his side. We don't know. I've heard all sorts of stories about what it could be. Probably the most viable one I've heard is Paul probably had some kind of an eye disease because he couldn't see well. Matter of fact, he had somebody writing for him later on in life. There was somebody that was kind of a secretary for him. You can read that in the scriptures. And so we really don't know what Paul's problem was. But Paul over and over and over again said, God, take this away from me. God, take this problem away. But God never did. Paul, his whole life, lived with this thorn in his side, whatever it was. I want you to listen to what Paul said about that as he wrestled with it. Look at what he said. But he said to me, but he being God, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I would boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, that I am strong. Paul's sitting there saying, listen, God, I need this out of my life. I got this problem. I got this issue. I got this battle in my life. And I'm weak and I can't win and I can't fight this alone, God. And God is sitting there saying, listen, my grace, circle that word grace because that's the key. My grace, that Spirit of God puts that grace in our life. That God just empowers us through that Spirit. That in that weakness, in those battles we fight, you know, in that thing that, you know, maybe there's an issue in your life that you think you've conquered it. You know, I've conquered. I've overcome that problem, that issue. You know, guys and pornography, me and patience. Yeah. I can deal with that. I got it all under control now. Yeah. I can feel good about my patience until I get in the car. Yeah. That's when I'm the weakest. But I got it. No, I don't. See, I don't know. You know, where is it? Think about it. Where's that at? When you are weak, he is strong. But you got to surrender. You've got to surrender. See, Paul surrendered it to God. Can you surrender it? So he empowers us to share. He empowers us when we're weak. There's a third one here, and it's hope. That he empowers us with hope in a hopeless situations. To have hope in this world that is hopeless. This kind of goes back to that overflow and I love the 23rd Psalms and that last little bit of the 23rd Psalms when he says he's going to anoint our head and our cup is going to overflow. And I read God's word and he talks about a well bubbling up inside of us and that well inside of us is going to overflow. And I always get a picture that God just never fills anything up. It just overfills. And it just keeps going over and over and he just overfills everything. And that's what he wants to do. But the problem is, we put our hope in the wrong things. We put our hope in things that have limits. You know, how many people put their hope, and I look at our society today and the economic crash that we've experienced here. How many people put their hope in their money, in their pension plan, in their retirement, in their home? I mean, my home went from $400,000 to $126,000. How many people had their hope in stuff that's limited? You know, we put our hope in ourselves. Well, I'm going to tell you, myself don't have. I'm kind of limited in my power. I'm limited. I don't have all that strength. We put our hope in sometime in others. And get anybody had their hope in others and been hurt by them? Put our hope in our circumstances, our jobs, our situations. See, I want to ask, where's your hope? Where's your hope? Look at what the scripture says. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. If you want hope, you're going to have to hope in God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that when that life-shaking experience happens, when those things go in and you're worried and there's anxiety, and there's stress, and you're worried, where do you get your hope? From the Holy Spirit. When you're hurting emotionally and there's devastated things in your life and you're hurting and things just aren't right and things aren't going well and you're hurting inside and you can't figure it out, where do you turn for hope? And who can you turn to? When your job and everything at work just isn't quite working out, you know, it's kind of like, It's real funny for Laura and I, you know, it's finances are tight. Finances are tight in the church. We're trying to finish our building. And, you know, it's really, you know, we're paying for our building. We're paying on our loan, and we're paying to rent these facilities. And, you know, and finances are tight and all of this. And it's, Laura and I are talking, and it's like, okay, Laura, so she gets some more hours at work. And then they come back this week and say, well, next year we're going to cut your hours. And it's like, oh, you know, God, we thought you were an answer to prayer, and now, anybody in that boat? Come on. You know, where's our hope? You know, what are we hoping in? I'm going to tell you, God's our provider. I share with people, you know, I don't know what God's going to do, but here's what I do know. I have never looked for a job since college. I needed work. I've had to work. But what's amazing is somebody walks up and says, hey, Gary, you need a job? I'm pastoring in Willits. They cut my salary. The money wasn't there. They cut my salary in the funeral home. Gary, we need some more help down here. You want to work? Sure. Got to cut my salary again. And it's like, okay, you know, what's going on? And some guy at the school district comes up and says, hey, Gary, you want to work? I go to California. I go to Golden Gate Seminary. I'm walking on the campus. Got to find a job. We just moved in. I'm walking out of the administration building, walking around a corner. I still remember where I can remember right where I was at. Some kid that came out of Cal Baptist before I did says, hey, Gary, you need a job? Yeah. He goes, I'm graduating and I'm leaving. Can you take my job? Yeah. Called his boss up and I got, come here, pastoring here. Finances are tight. Laura's uncle says, hey, Gary, can you change oil in some equipment? Yeah. God provides. You know, anybody been in that boat? Anybody? See, the God is there. He's our provider. He's our comforter. He's our equipper. He's there. See, where's our hope? Is our hope just in what we see here and what we have? And if it is, it's limited. The last one I put down here is that we can have hope in the fullness of the power of God, the fullness of God. That we have hope in the fullness of God. Look what the scripture says. I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened, with the power of I'm going to read it off my paper here. My bifocals are messing up. I'm getting old. Maybe that's my weakness. I pray that he may grant you according to his riches, his glory, to be strengthened with the power in the inner man through his spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, the height, and the depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love surpasses knowledge, so that he may be filled with the fullness of God. He wants to fill us. This comes back to where I started with this. We need to grow up. See, we think we got this Christian thing figured out. I've accepted Christ. I've surrendered my heart to Christ. I go to church every once in a while. I read my Bible some of the times. I pray many times. Mostly every day I pray at least once. I do this. And we think we got this Christian thing all figured out. And then we wonder why our prayers don't seem to get out of the building. Or why when that earth-shaking experience happens, when our life is shaken to the core, why can't we stand firm? You know, I was at church every once in a while, you know, and I've read my Bible most of the time. And why, you know, and we look at these things, I can check these off. And we think we can just check this off and that we could be full of God. And what I want to challenge you with is you got to be immersed with God. You got to immerse yourself. And it's not what you do, it's what you give up. Does that make sense? It's not what you do, it's what you give up. When you surrender everything to Him, then you can have power. But as long as you hang on to it, as long as you've got this, I've got this figured out. I can make my check marks here, and I can do this, and I can do that.
But if you want supernatural power, you want to be spiritually gifted, you want to have supernatural strength, you want to be equipped to do miraculous things, you want to have comfort, you want the counsel of God, you want the wisdom, you want the encouragement, you want the joy, then it's a matter of surrendering and not strength. It's a matter of weakness and letting go and letting God. And that's what I want to challenge you with this morning. I put it at this last scripture. Look at this last scripture with me. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Anybody know what that one is all about? Anybody have family, friends that kind of messed up in this area? Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I want to ask you, when's the last time you were immersed in the Spirit? When's the last time you really felt that God's presence was upon you? It's not a matter of what you do, it's what you give up. Will you surrender anew to Him? Will you allow Him to fill you? Yeah. Here's the image I have all the time. This is the image I put in my head. I have a glass of water. And as I live, I put things in there. It's like, well, I drop rocks in. And when I drop the rock in, there's not enough room for the water, so the water goes out. Well, then I clean my life up and I get rid of those rocks in my life, but the glass isn't full anymore. I got to have that glass filled up again. And so I need God to fill me again. See, that's the battle we fight. You know, I maybe the best way to tell you this is my bucket leaks. Anybody? My bucket leaks. I need to be immersed anew in His Spirit. When was the last time God immersed you? You surrendered it all. You just said, it's all. In your weakness, in your hope, in the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your words and Your truths. That You didn't leave us as orphans, that when You ascended into heaven, You left us Your Spirit. And He lives here, Lord. And I ask You to fill this place with Your Spirit in a special way right now. Fill each heart, touch each life in a special way right now. You know, as I'm praying, maybe you're here and you've been a believer for a while and you know God and you know who God is. And, you know, you get up and you go to church and you pray and you read your Bible. But for some reason, you just feel you're not spiritually full. That maybe you haven't been immersed in a while. Would you just raise your hand and I can pray for you? Just lift up your hand. I see them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see them. Thank you. Lord, I lift these up who've acknowledged, Lord, that they need the new feeling and a fresh feeling of Your Spirit. They've opened their heart. They've surrendered their life anew and afresh to You, Lord. They've put out the rocks in their life, the things that have set aside You, the things that have turned their attention from You. And so, Lord, I ask You to fill them with Your dynamite power. Lord, if it is comfort they need, comfort their hearts. If it is wisdom they need, let the Spirit of wisdom guide and direct them. If it is provision they need, Lord, let Your power from above and the cattle on a thousand hills provide for them through the Spirit of God. Lord, You empower them, You gift them, You equip them, Lord, and You bless them. Let them feel anew and afresh. Let them feel immersed and clean and all new in Your presence, because You have baptized them once again in Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our practice as a church to give an invitation. Invitation, your opportunity to respond to God. I'm just here to pray.